The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to, is it 2025's last Key for Curry show?
It is.
It is indeed. We'll be coming to you next Monday with the first one of the new year, and that will be on January the 3rd, I believe. The 1st is Thursday. 2nd, no, it's going to be the 5th, actually. January 5th, 2026 will be the next Kiefer and Curry.
You know what's funny? I don't think a lot of people, I do this just to be more difficult for my alimony, but I still write checks. And I just finally just got used to writing 25 on my checks. Now I got to change to 26 already.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just gotten that fast. Yeah, no doubt. You know, I like to watch a lot of news and listen to a lot of music. And I heard this band the other day called Breaking Rust. You ever heard of Breaking Rust, a band?
I'm not familiar with that.
Country band called Breaking Rust. They had a number one streaming song on the country charts called Walk the Walk or Walk My Walk. Evidently it's taken the world by storm. And then, there is this Xenia Monet, gal who's now got a song, on Billboard's top 40, and she's doing really well. And then there's another band called the Velvet Sundown, that's starting to make its inlays into the Billboard's top 40. And I know how much you love music, and I know how much you even more so like, songwriters. All three of those are all AI generated.
Really?
None of them are real.
Not surprised.
Yeah, Breaking Rust is not real. It's not a real band. Xenia Monet is actually this gal named Talisha Nikki Jones, who's actually the one who's putting the effort into creating this music without really doing anything. She's like, I don't even know how you create your own song. There's this thing called Suno, I think it's called, S-U-N-O. Now you can create your own music. You go in there, you pay a subscription, you go in there and I guess you lay down. I don't know if you lay the chords down. I don't know how it works. It's pretty cool, but now people are making their own music. And I can only imagine, you know, the likes of Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry rolling over in their graves.
Because
writing the music while the most difficult part, the most rewarding part. You know, there was nothing better than like hearing Billy Joel tell us that he wrote Piano Man in 10 minutes. And then you find out that, you know, it took Led Zeppelin 3 years to write Stairway to Heaven. It's just that's the stories behind the music are what's so wonderful about this. So I'm hearing this and I'm thinking to myself, is there anything out there where AI won't be better than humans? And if they are, for example, what would happen if an AI generated song end up breaking every record out there? What if it'll end up selling more records than say Thriller did? And I'm just asking the question because I think it's just a matter of time before we see a song stay number one for 12 weeks and start breaking these records. And then from a Grammy standpoint, I don't even know. Do you remember Milli Vanilli? You know, that whole scam?
Sure.
What a scam that was. They end up winning two Grammys. Milli Vanilli, for people don't know, is back in the 80s, these two black guys, they were called Milli Vanilli. They had this album that was fantastic, sold like 15 million albums. They won a couple of Grammys. Come to find out that neither one of them sold a damn thing. They didn't sing a song on the entire album. It was all generated by
actors.
But at least it was two other, and even in the videos, at least it was a human singing it, right?
Yep.
So it was two different guys. And so I'm just wondering, because we're in our infancy with this AI thing.
Then I
start thinking to myself, and I'm watching the news last night. They have now created a way to grow fat for our food. It is carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and methane. And they can now make fat molecules that are commercially identical to the same fat that we take in our dairy and our, in other words, you can make this without having any animals or plants anywhere close to it. And they're saying that it's better for you. It's not as fat for you. They did a taste test with 20 different people and they couldn't tell the difference. And I'm thinking to myself, that sounds disgusting. And then, you know, we've got cultivated meat. which is something that I think you and I are going to see before we kick the bucket. That is something that we're actually growing meat. We're actually in it. They say it's unbelievable. And then I was thinking about, you know, we have diamonds now that you can grow diamonds. Of course, experts can tell the difference between, because there's a growth pattern with diamonds that are pressed for billions of years, as opposed to these things that are lab grown. And then I went all the way back and I started, well, where did all this crap start? And it took me back to 1997 when a guy named Garry Kasparov, you remember him?
The name's familiar, yeah.
Garry Kasparov was the king of chess.
That's right.
He was the chess king, and he decided to take on the IBM supercomputer. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, I could beat the supercomputer, and pretty much day in and day out, this computer kicked his ass. I think he beat it like once or something like that, and then after that, it was over. I'm not a chess player, and I didn't realize that it would, like, there's a friend of mine that plays dominoes, and he beats me at dominoes every single time, and it's because he's got a photogenic mind. He can remember, he can basically tell you what my tablets are. He can tell me exactly what I have. If I got six tablets, he knows exactly what I've got based on what's on the table and what he has in his hand.
Right.
Which is kind of like, it's just cheating. It's kind of like, I mean, he knows exactly what I got. He beats my ass every like single time.
Cards and blackjack.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not even fun to play with him because I know he's going to beat me because he knows. And so like in chess, I guess, is there a perfect game based on what the other side is doing? I don't know if they could do it. Anyway, my head is exploding here. I'm turning 60 this year. I'm not quite the old man on the porch, but when I am, I'm gonna rear its ugly head, and I'm gonna get after it because I don't like the way this everything's fake. I've always been about augmentation when it comes to my breasts, and that's about it. I don't like everything being made and being, but I understand it's going to make things cheaper and it's supposed to be healthier and it's going to taste better. What's your thoughts on first? I want to go back to music. You know, I thought it was kind of shitty, to be honest with you, when I heard that Bob Dylan on his last album did the entire album on a computer. And I was like, what, Bob, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, and Paul McCartney has also done this with his last album. Everything was done. Now, he had to put all the input into it. He had to play the instruments, everything, but everything was done with a computer. He didn't have sound guys. And he created all the music just by sitting there at a computer and putting stuff on. And I thought, man, this is not real songwriting. This is not what it's all about. But at least they put the input in to put it out. Now we have bands and songs out there that have no human element at all. And you can say, sure it is. There's human element. It's all human element that's creating these things. But it's really not. Am I losing my brain here? Because this is happening. Kip, we did a show 2 years ago where you asked me questions through an AI voice that sounded so much like you, I couldn't tell the difference. And that was 2 years ago. To see how far we've come in 2 years.
That was really early on.
It's insane. Now we have girls that are committing suicide because ChatGPT is telling them to do it. I mean, it's just gotten out of control so quickly. Let's start with the music. What's your thoughts on this?
You know, I've heard a couple of AI generated songs, not any of these ones that are quote hits. That's disturbing. Cause the ones I've heard are kind of laughable. There's some songs that, you give the elements and you tell them what you want and half the words are mispronounced. I think I'm trying to think of an example in this one jingle that my son's producing a podcast for a couple of people in our little group and the lyrics were laughable. Instead of a podcast, it was calling it a pod jam, which I don't know what a pod jam is, but that's not correct.
Yeah.
But anyway, the song was just kind of amateurish and silly. I guess there's varying degrees of how sophisticated particular systems are. So I'm not shocked that we're already at the point where if you enter enough information and data, that it can probably create a pretty credible product. I mean, already the big danger of AI is, you know, generating somebody's voice to do offensive things or illegal things. And then the person's going to have to try and wiggle off the hook that's not even responsible for seemingly their own actions. So there's just a lot of unexplored territory, but this is the first I've heard that there are actually AI songs that are getting attention, and people are obviously downloading them and they're becoming popular. So that's a distressing element for me. I'd have to hear them to make an assessment of their quality, but I can't imagine from the little bit I've heard so far, the ones I've heard so far are amateurish.
If you didn't know something was AI generated and you really liked it, it's got a great hook, and someone says it's a new Jackson Brown song. You're listening to it and you're like, first of all, you're going to love it because it's Jackson Brown, but you like it. You think it's fantastic. For example, Doctor My Eyes.
Yeah.
And someone says, and you're like, oh man, that song was great. Of course, we know how great that song is, but then you find out that it was computer generated.
Huh.
I don't even know what to do with that. If I wasn't in music and I hadn't surrounded my entire life around music, I think I'd feel differently about it, but I don't like it. I don't like it and I don't want it.
The artists are just appalled by the idea that creativity is going to be now shifted to a soulless machine. If there was a song that I really kind of got into, and that's kind of rare these days because I'm a Cro-Magnon, I'll admit it. I don't listen to much from this particular time. Every time they announce somebody's going to play the Super Bowl, I say, who's that?
Yeah.
And my sons look at me like, you haven't heard of so-and-so?
Man, it used to be every year we knew until like 4 or 5 years ago. And now I have no clue. I have no clue who plays the Super Bowl anymore.
Yeah. The Weeknd. I didn't see The Weeknd coming.
I didn't either.
I thought, and surely that was a band. That's a dude.
Yeah.
The Weeknd. Yeah. I just, that does not compute for me, which is a purposeful pun here.
Well, that should tell us we're getting older, but I understand that. So.
But, you know, if it was a song that I somehow was exposed to and really said, hey, that's a really good song. Who did that? And they say, oh, it's a Grok or a AI or whatever, or ChatGPT or whatever the more sophisticated. And I'm sure there's some highly sophisticated forms of this, but it's really, you know, I mentioned today, I did 4 hours of radio on local talk news talk, and I talked about AI and what kind of advances we're going to see in 2026. And, you know, this can be a tremendous benefit for humanity, but it also can be a something to be terribly concerned about, because we're already living in a society where personal contact and interaction is becoming more rare, where, you know, you want to talk to people via texts and via, you know, social media and other means of communication as opposed to in person. The AI threatens to take that to a whole new level, because you can cut people out completely. I know that there's been approval for several platforms now to allow like romantic interaction, even graphically, with certain aspects of this. And if that becomes a substitute for actual people, that's a direction I think is pretty distressing. We're already impersonal enough in this society at this stage anyway.
Well, we used it in the last Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford was actually generated, AI generated. Now they did it not for his person now, but they were jumping back to an older story of Harrison Ford, so they had to make him look younger. They weren't doing it so he could live on in the movies forever and ever and ever. It wasn't that case. And I do think it's interesting because I watch a lot of stuff on the History Channel, and I appreciate the fact every time something on the History Channel, which is about every single time there's a new show on now, anytime they use anything AI generated, it says this program uses AI generation. And I appreciate that. I can kind of tell, obviously, when they're showing a tsunami taking out New York City, that it's probably AI generated. I get that.
I'll give you another example. Two times ago in October, when we were in Las Vegas staying at the Venetian, the Sphere attaches to the Venetian, the $2 billion entertainment. It's hard to even describe what it is, but it's got tens of thousands of speakers and all, and it's just this massive undertaking of creating the ultimate sensory overload environment. And they did an AI remake, regenerated Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. So a whatever 80-year-old movie charging $129 to come in and see it. And the scene with the tornado where the house is blowing away and she ends up crashing, you know, on the old witch and in Oz. I mean, it's just unbelievable in that kind of environment what this can do. And, you know, I fear that music and movies and even human relationships are going to basically become obsolete because this technology, I think, can just take usurp all of what human beings can do.
Our good friend Chris Fryer from the Zac Brown Band, which, by the way, we're going to have back on. I reached out to him a couple weeks ago, and they're on tour out there. They're actually doing shows. They have spent over a year and a half creating a show just to play at the Sphere. That should tell you how special.
Zac Brown has been obsessed with that, has been going to see just about everything that goes on in that facility, because he claims in an interview that nobody has reached full capacity of the capabilities of this venue. No. And he was determined that the Zac Brown Band in their residency there was going to utilize everything it could do. So I'm not really typically a Zac Brown fan in terms of their music. If I was out there in the next couple of weeks when they're performing, I would like to see how they utilize that facility, because it was $2 billion. It's state of the art. It's unbelievable.
We're going, and this is not going to be the first and last Sphere, by the way. There's going to be Spheres all over the, they're building one in Europe, and they're going to be all over the place. And the technology is going by so quickly that probably within about 5 or 6 years,
it'll be outdated.
Outdated. I mean, it's just like the military was back in the 40s and 50s, where we were moving stuff so fast that by the time we had it built, it was already obsolete. We're going to get Chris on our show, on our starting lineup, because I actually want him to take the camera inside the Sphere. I want to see the inside for people that don't get a chance to go see this. I think it'd be remarkable. So we'll have that in the next few weeks. I'm all about technology, and I'm all about furthering technology and making things more, I don't like to say easier, but more convenient. The whole idea of shipped, the whole idea that people are so damn lazy, they can't even drive to a grocery store and buy their own tomato sauce. And you can actually, Josh Calipo loves Amazon. He has stuff delivered to his house every day. Sometimes it's a thing of iodized salt. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 different things. Sometimes it's just a big thing of toilet paper. Like if he needs toilet paper, he just gets on and it.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And I you go back in life and everything it's more convenient, but we're getting beyond convenience here. We're talking about things that are actually going to be stealing not only the thunder, but the creative thunder of a lot of, hours of, I don't even know how to put it in words of when I think about songwriting, I have to pay this company every month, my licensing. And so I have to pay for the song. I have to pay for the record label code, and I have to pay for the songwriter. So 3 different things are getting money. Okay. So that's where, you know, for example, a lot of people realize this, but Heart, for example, doesn't write most of their music. A lot of their songs are written for them. They do it, and they, you know, obviously they're, but you don't get paid for the songwriting thing. So all these different platforms where people, and that's what Napster started. It really bothers me to think how quickly it's moving, and the fact that this reminds me a little bit of the NCAA in college football. The stuff is out of the tube is out of the tooth, but the toothpaste is out of the tube. And is it going to be too late to stuff it back in? And now that this technology's out there, I even went back and looked, AI, God Portrait of Alan Turing. That was a piece of art that was made in the course of 10 seconds by AI back in 2022. It sold for $1.08 million last week. Someone just put in 15 different types of things and wanted to have an idea and put a brook here and do this, that, and then the next thing you know, it was generated. And because it was one of the first pieces that was ever generated, that's why it was sold for so much. But we're going to have a difficult time telling the difference between what's real and what's not. And I just, from a human standpoint, I hate that. I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, creativity, art,
what happens if half the songs in the top 40 are all AI generated? And I fully expect it to happen.
Because you know, that technology is going to rapidly advance and it's going to be able to do things that musicians in a studio and
Kip, we used to have three stations, then four stations, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and then public television. And if you had a show on one of those, you were big time. Now, if you just did it by sheer numbers of how many people are watching podcast videos, YouTube, television shows, cable shows, now they're like a trillion different superstars. I mean, we have people out there right now. They when they put their taxes, you know, there's now influencer. You can put influencer as what you do for a living. For the longest time, people are like, what do you do for a living? I put radio. There's nothing on the IRS code for radio. Yeah. I always had to put like advertising or something like that. But there are a lot of people that are generating a life. Because
you know, now there's a code for embezzler, a code for bookmaker, yeah. but not for,
radio. And certainly not for radio now because no one's doing it live anymore. It's only a matter of time before, and I'm sure it already exists, AI generated talk shows. I'm sure it's out there. I mean, throw out a topic and let two different robots go at it. I'm sure that it's something that's already out there. They can generate whatever they want.
Absolutely.
I don't know, man.
I have gone to the dark side just to the extent of using it because, you know, I've got vision issues for research, for anything I want to learn about or prepare for, you know, doing a broadcast or whatever. It is an amazing tool. It in just a short period of time where I would have to read all kinds of material that I don't want to read, trying to get to and find what I want to find. I can ask a specific question. And this has the capability of taking all the information that's out there and summarizing it and giving you the answer you need instantly. And it's just an amazing tool. But where it can go from here, I think you're expressing a lot of the things I talked about this morning that, you know, I see it being a destructive force as much as an enhancing force potentially. And I don't know how you get that reined in.
I don't know either. And I'll be honest with you. I appreciate technology. When I started this internet radio station, I had to learn a lot of different things about computers. Sure. I didn't know anything about computers. I was just paying a guy to make sure if the computer went off, I didn't know how the hell to get it back on. I had to learn all that stuff because I ain't going to pay someone to come over here at 3 o'clock in the morning and get me back up every time. But I will say this. I'm kind of glad I'm not in this. I'm not in this generation. I'm kind of glad I'm on the, and I hate to say that because I like to improvise. I like to get out there. I'm instantaneous. I've done some crazy shit in my life. But I'm kind of on the backside of this. I'm kind of glad that this is not something that I have to compete against my son's 21 and he's like, Dad, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. You got to be careful. And I've even asked my daughter, do you know what ChatGPT? She goes, yeah. And I said, okay, tell me how you know about it and why. Because I want to know. And she's like, and I said, I'm forbidding you to use that unless it's for school or something that you need to use. I do not want you. You have friends of your own. I don't want you to start. I said, just trust me on this. Don't do it. It's like heroin. I'm afraid to try it because I'm afraid. I've got friends of mine that they get on every morning and the first thing they do is they go to ChatGPT. That's the first thing they do every morning. It's taken social media and whatever Facebook was to like the infinite level. And now everything. I will tell you this, it's kind of interesting. My son, who's got special needs, is really into funky hydraulic elevator, weird car wash parts and all kinds. And he'll throw a question out and there's not an answer to it, but there is now. He would throw out, "Hey dad, can you tell me what a CRX SD40 1057, blah, 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 blah weighs?" And I'm like, "No, honey, that answer is not out there. It does not exist. It does now. And it will tell you exactly how many pounds a CRX SD40 1185 weighs. Just 6 months ago, nothing. It was too specific of a question, you know, because you couldn't just ask something that specific. Now it will figure something out. It'll give you an answer of something. It'll say, listen, I tried my best, but this is the best thing I can give you. So no matter how specific you ask the question, it will give you everything you got. And it's, man, you're right. It's scary. It's crazy. I mean, it's.
Yeah. I asked ChatGPT a question last night. I can't remember exactly what it was. And, you know, as I tend to do, my response was was kind of a snide remark and it laughed. I mean, so I made GPT laugh at my joke and I said, this is getting a little advanced here because a machine should not recognize humor or attempts at humor.
That's crazy. I mean, that's insane.
And it literally laughed out loud. I have not switched to a female voice yet because I don't want to go there. I trust myself, but I don't want to develop a relationship with a soulless computer. And I don't know, just despite us, while we're expressing our fears, they'll probably come up with some kind of system when we're in a vegetative state that'll keep us alive for 20 more years to suffer through all this. Yeah. It'll probably come up with this great way to keep us kicking around. So we might be subjected to AI on the negative side of not seeing what we don't want to see, of having to see what we don't want to see.
We get into right now and we have a great show, but I want to ask you this question. Life is cyclical. I'll use LPs for an example. Everyone's now buying albums. Everyone's coming out with albums. Taylor Swift's releasing albums.
And it's really made a comeback.
People are like, wow. And then we've been waiting. It's been the baseball card thing. Don't get rid of your baseball cards. They're going to be worth something someday. We went through that big explosion, that big bubble.
You ought to see my friend Jim, who you would get along with great, because Jim was raised in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. So he was from your neck of the woods. Yeah. And his baseball card collection is insane, Tony. It's ridiculous. He's got it so organized. He has all of these certified cards that they put in these cases now that are graded, and his collection is got to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, easy. I mean, I saw what did I see? The great one. I saw a Wayne Gretzky rookie card go for like $300,000 the other day.
Unbelievable.
Like, I said, Wayne Gretzky? Has he been gone that long from hockey that we can do a rookie card? So yeah, it's out there. I don't know.
He's got Mickey Mantle rookie cards and Willie Mays. I mean,
that's crazy.
They're in mint condition. They get the highest. You send them in. I mean, you talk about innovation and businesses that arise because that's such a big deal. There's four or five competing companies that will certify and grade your cards based on their condition and if there's like little flaws, because, you know, technology wasn't great. Some baseball cards, if you look at them, even the picture's a little crooked or there's some kind of little aberration. But it's just amazing how things pop up to facilitate fads, but
people cutting off the edges to make the edges more crisp.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, and this is such a broad question because we've talked about so much on the show, but if life is cyclical and we're getting in all this AI stuff, Someone's got to be coming up with, someone's got to be working on something that's going to take us back to the Stone Age. I don't know what that is. Maybe we start dating nights again, speed dating or something, where we actually are sitting at a table with no phones. The whole idea of not doing anything without a phone. I went an entire day yesterday without one phone call. And my daughter was like, what? And I said, yeah, I've gotten to the point now where I just don't pick it up that much anymore. And I try to knock it all out in three. I'm not going to have that damn thing in my hand 24 hours a day. It's not the first thing I look at. I don't want to see it first thing in the morning. I don't want to look at it right before I go to bed. I got enough stuff going on. I'm just going to live my life. And I don't go perusing the social
media.
If I can get to through the rest of my life without having to fall into that pit, I've been there. I've done that. Certainly with the business we're in, it's something we have to do because it's free advertising. So we'll get out there and put stuff on social media stuff. But it's going to be a wild world, man. I'm still glad that we still get to do this thing called radio. And I guess in a real way, you're still doing terrestrial radio. I'm fixing to get back into terrestrial radio, which I never thought would happen. So it's not going away. It's still around. So maybe that'll be the new hip thing. I know they're trying
to trash Birmingham a little bit today for not being a very progressive place and being kind of stuck in the past and being almost like reluctant to acclimate. But the next thought I had was, I wouldn't be sitting here because this is so highly unusual that we have two talk stations with actual human beings sitting here in the studio and coming in shifts to do these shows. It's all syndicated. I bet there's a lot of computer generated shows now. Oh, yeah. I mean, AI is going to be doing their own shows.
Absolutely. And as long as
let's give credit where credit's due. Yeah. Some throwback stuff is still here, but just the fact that I did 4 hours this morning of live local radio is pretty remarkable in this day and age.
It is an art. And I will say this to the day I die. My dad always told me, man, it's not a shift. It's a show. He'd always say, have a good shift. I'm like, Dad, it's a show. It's not a shift. It's a show. And every time they tune you in, you're there to entertain. And it's a 4 hours of Kip show is what it is. It's not a shift. Well, yeah, what's your shift tonight? You mean my show. I got a show later on tonight. It's entertainment. And maybe in a weird kind of way, we could bring it all back. I didn't think I'd be peddling down at Jitterbugs at the age of 93. And I'm not saying that's reopening, but the fact that we still have antennas up there, we can still broadcast on. Hell, I got a friend of mine just picked up ham radio. He's for some reason, he's 48 years old and he discovered ham radio and he thinks it's the coolest thing. He's like, dude, I could talk to a guy in Belgium. It's so cool. And I'm like, you know, you can do that on a cell phone too. Yeah, but he's so cool. He can pick up his ham radio and he picks up and talks to people on boats and this, that, and the other. He thinks it's the coolest thing ever. Wow. All right, my man, we'll get after it. Happy New Year to you, my friend. I can't wait for a 2026. It's going to be fantastic. Bigger and better than we've ever had. 2025. It's been interesting. Man, it's been real
nice chatting with you, my fellow dinosaur.
Yes sir. We'll get after it later on this week, my friend. This Saturday, starting lineup, playoff football, baby. Best time of the year. We'll see if how far the Alabama Crimson Tide can let it ride and if they can end that Indiana show. So we'll see what happens.
I'm the biggest Miami and Alabama fan in the country this week because I want the evil Big Ten to get its comeuppance.
I hear you.
So we'll find out if that happens this week or not.
You may see it.
Everybody assuming. We had a caller this morning that said, how can Alabama possibly beat Indiana? Well, they could possibly beat them because they have better players.
Yeah, they can.
Overall, I would not trade Alabama's roster for Indiana's. Sorry. I just don't see it.
Maybe their quarterback. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Is he that good? Somebody called on one of my shows yesterday, and we'll wrap it up. 27 of his 33 touchdown passes this year were against teams with with no more than four wins. So he really fattened up on all the weak sisters they played.
And then when they played Ohio State, what did he have? 16 points.
Could be 13. They only scored one time.
All right, my man. I will catch up with you later this week. Happy New Year, brother. Great job.
All right, Tony. Same back.
Go take a damn nap.
I think that's a capital idea, and I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. It's not going to be AI-aided.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.